of fighting against slavery and for civil rights. So they traveled around Texas. Delivering this message to African-American churches. So the fact that Alice Patterson and C.L. Jackson were standing with Perry was indeed politically significant.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're talking about an emerging evangelical movement that seeks to take dominion over politics, business, and culture in preparation for the end times and the return of Jesus. The movement, dubbed the New Apostolic Reformation, or NAR, is establishing a presence in American politics. Two ministries in the movement, The Call, led by Lou Engle, and the International House of Prayer, led by Mike Bickle, helped organize Rick Perry's recent prayer rally. My guest, Rachel Tabachnik, has been writing about the New Apostolic Reformation for the website Talk to Action. One of the people you may recognize who's connected to the movement is Thomas Muthi, the Kenyan pastor who anointed Sarah Palin at the Wasilla Assembly of God Church in 2005 while praying for Jesus to protect her from the spirit of witchcraft. A video of that went viral during the 2008 presidential campaign. I asked Tabachnik about Muthi's connection to the NAR.
The New Apostolic Reformation has another campaign that's been very successful, and this is called Transformations. Transformation is the buzzword for bringing communities into dominion or gaining dominion over culture and government in a community. And the movement has put out transformation videos since 1999. Thomas Muthi, who was what's called anointing Sarah Palin in that grainy video, was a star of the first transformation movie. And what these movies did, they show vignettes of communities or locations around the globe which they believe have been transformed through the supernatural move of God. And the process is that the people in the community come together, repent, pray together, expel the demons from their community, which they describe in terms of witches and witchcraft, and then that the community undergoes a transformation in which there can be miraculous healing, the growth of very large vegetables and agricultural products, the end of corruption and crime. What was totally missed by the press was the fact that Muthi was an international leader in the movement at the time and recognized because of his role in this series of videos. And people became quite fixated on the witchcraft part of it, as opposed to looking at who Muthi was and understanding his role in a larger movement. And then the other point I would make is that although this is a movement that has mostly organized independent charismatics, so that means charismatics who are not in a denomination, there are also Pentecostal churches that are in denominations that have embraced the very distinct ideology of the movement. And one of those churches is Wasilla Assembly of God, where Sarah Palin attended for over 20 years, and leaders of the movement have been there frequently to speak. So who knows what Sarah Palin personally believes, but she certainly had quite a bit of exposure to the movement.
Now you write about this group that it looks multicultural because they're reaching out to Native Americans, to African Americans, Asian Americans, Latinos. There are women apostles as well as men apostles, and they stress racial reconciliation. But you say they stress racial reconciliation while literally demonizing all other religions and belief systems. What do you mean?
One example would be in the transformation movies. In these vignettes, the participants do what's called spiritual warfare and spiritual mapping in some of the movies. And this is an activity to isolate where the demons are and then to start doing what they call strategic level spiritual warfare against those demons. Let me explain this concept of strategic level spiritual warfare. They teach that there are three levels of spiritual warfare. The first is ground level warfare, which is expulsion of demons, exorcism, if you will, of demons from individuals. This is nothing new. We've seen this for centuries. They have a little a controversial twist to it because they teach that born-again Christians can harbor these demons. Then they have a second level called occult-level spiritual warfare. This, they say, is fighting Freemasonry, Eastern religions, and witchcraft. Then there's the third level, strategic level spiritual warfare, which is removing these principalities, they call them, the most powerful demons that hold in spiritual bondage entire populations. And this might be a community, a geographic area, what they call a people group, an ethnic group, or a religious group. They literally name these demons and then go on these excursions to fight these demons.
So let me see if I understand this. Does that mean that these prayer groups are trying to exorcise mosques and get the demons out of mosques so that Muslims can convert to Christianity?
They see the demon as holding sway over a large area, so over not just the mosque, but the entire people group. Let me give you a specific example about this, and this is something that's coming up this November. Several groups have come together for another The Call event, which will be in Detroit on November 11th. And the purpose of this one is to fight the demonic spirit of Islam. Now, I was listening to a recording. They're in preparation for this, and this has been going on all throughout the year. And one of the leading apostles, and one who endorsed Perry's event, was speaking in a conference call to a group, and they placed these recordings online, and explaining to them the way that they were preparing for The Call Detroit. And one of the things that they're doing is they're literally going and putting a stake in the ground with a verse from Jeremiah at every Masonic lodge in the state. They have a ceremony to fight the demons, and then they put the stake in the ground. This is a type of ceremony that's been taking place all over the country. In all 50 states, ceremonies which they call divorcing Baal, Baal being what the Israelites worshipped when they abandoned God in the Old Testament.
So the event is in Detroit, which is very near Dearborn, Michigan, which has, I think, the or one of the largest populations of Muslims in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Is that significant?
Yes, that's very significant. The purpose of that event is to fight the spirit of Islam. In other words, to conduct spiritual warfare against the demons which they claim hold Muslims in bondage and keep them from converting. Now, of course, this is expressed in terms of love. They say, we don't hate Muslims, we love Muslims, but we hate that they are in spiritual bondage and don't convert to Christianity.
So do you think that the people at the rally intend to go to mosques or directly address Muslims in any way? Like, I don't know how much you know about what the plan is.
I don't know of specific plans. I can give you examples from the past. In 2008, just before the election, they held one of the call events in Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego. This was an event in support of Prop 8.
Which was meant to make gay marriage illegal.
Correct. And so in the promotional material put out about the event, Lou Engel talked about that they had to come together and pray because this would unleash a spirit more demonic than Islam, was his words. And prior to that event, they did have people who came into conflict with people in gay communities because they did have people going out in the streets and evangelizing and so forth. And there were some conflicts prior to that event. And also I might add, by the end of that event, which was another day-long event, Lou Engel was calling for martyrs to the cause from the stage. So I am concerned about the ramifications of the event in Detroit.
So when you say that this event is intended to be spiritual warfare against the intent of Islam, Are the organizers of this event publicly saying that?